Turn with me this morning to the 45th chapter of the book of Isaiah. It's going to kind of be a continuation of last Sunday. Chapter of the book of Psalms. Said it's a fool that says there's no God. But it's even a bigger fool that sets about to try to prove that there is. If you can, you know, be any worse, that would be true. And I believe that more than ever before in time, that's so in our day. Amen. There's so much activity going on that is trying to prove that, and they go about it in all different ways. Well, we don't know about the scripture. It was written over much time, and our argument is that is confirmation of it, that it was written in the form of prophecy over many years, much time has passed, and people continually try to tear down God Himself. You know what is an amazing thing about it is that is the very condemnation that they have, that they try to disprove what God has said. That's proof that they know that there is a God. And they always set into activity those things that would try to tear him down, bring him down to their elevation. And most all the worship, so-called worship that I see today is on that basis. That they think God is merely somebody just like they are. And that's what all this painting pictures of Christ, Jesus Christ, is all about too, is making more human than he really was. Although he was totally human at one time, led by the Spirit. But that's what all that is about. Beginning in the 10th verse here, I believe we're going to read the rest of this chapter. He said, "Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begettest thou? Or to the woman, What hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, asked me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands commanded ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon me. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded." He set all these things in order. And all of it is working under his power. All the governments of this earth that has ever been are under his command and his control and his government. And he governs in that fashion that everything works, as Paul has said, to the good of his people. He said, "I have raised him up in righteousness." Must be talking about somebody here, huh? Yes. "Raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways." Now, he's talking about two things here. One, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the other, his people or his church. He's going to direct both of them. All their ways. "And he shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives. Not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee in chains, they shall come over. And they shall fall down unto thee, and they shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee. And there's none else. There's no God. I said that everything is governed of Him, and sometimes we look about us even in our day and we say, well, I wonder why this such and such thing is going on. Why it's happening. And the whole truth of the matter is that it is prophecy of God Almighty is being played out. All the governments are being directed exactly according to the will of God. And we don't have to worry about those things. We often do, because we are human, we often do worry about all these things. But it's readily confirmed all through the Scripture that whatever God prophesied unto the people, that it's surely going to come to pass. That it's firmly set in His Word. And He said, and they shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. That's another thing that we find in our day is so much confusion. Especially between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and how men are saved. They've even lost the whole principle of salvation, because they've set it forth as something that man can do. They've set it forth as God having done all that He can do. So the rest must be left up to man. He must carry out the second act. Well, there's nothing further from the truth. They claim that they preach grace, and then they take grace away from the people. Say, well, you got to do this much. There isn't any grace at all in that. He said, but Israel shall be saved. And then how? In the Lord. With an everlasting salvation. It doesn't have any end. For the people of God, it does have a beginning, but for God Himself, it doesn't even have a beginning. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without Him. Once it's done, it's done. Even before the foundation of the world, God set all these things forth, and in man's time, it has been prophesied unto him that this is going to happen this way, this way, this way, this way, and this way. And we try to confuse things. Say, well, this verse means this, and this verse means this. We do get it line upon line, precept upon precept. But even after we have gotten it that way, they turn around and say, well, must not have meant that. That's what the Scripture said. Now, I didn't say that. They turn back. Use the same principle to do away with what God has said. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there's none else. He's going to keep on saying that, isn't he? He has written it up on the conscience of man. Why do you think they attempt to worship so hard? He said, I have not spoken in secret in the dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. It's all he speaks, isn't it? Nothing else. It's all right. It's truth. You can't do any better than that. But that's the problem. They keep trying to add something to it. Our righteousness is found in the Lord. No place else. He said, I declare things that are right. That's the righteousness of it. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. Well, they were in bondage, weren't they? How they escaped? Because the Lord made a way. Else they had been in the same bondage forever. The bondage of sin. That's what the nations have. Ye that are escaped of the nations, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto God that cannot save. And that's another thing that they're doing, exactly the same thing. Boy, I don't have much to do with Facebook, but I see so much on it. Betty gets on it twice a day to see what the kids are doing. And anybody else around Love Lady and all tells me all about what's going on. But over the few times she does call me in there and say, look at this, you know, and then she'll start scrolling down through stuff and all this little religious stuff they got on there and all these little prayers they got. It's amazing. Yeah. You know what? Southern Baptists are still arguing over that very question. Does God hear a sinner prayer? Well, they don't understand the first principle of it's what's wrong. He does, and he don't. But you got to understand that sometimes they pray things, and it does give it to them. It may not be exactly what they're looking for. They may think it is at the time, but it's probably not going to work out to be that. All these little sweet little things they're praying for. And they're putting it on there to tell the whole world where they stand. It's their condemnation. That's what I don't understand about these things. Why are men so determined to try to preach a God that is not there? That is their God. One that doesn't have any power. He said, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from the ancient time? That's what we're talking about this morning. Who declared it? Who said it? God Almighty that created everything and set everything in order. I don't know why people would think, even begin to think, that God created all these things and then he just left and didn't have any more to do with it. Let them just rumble along and waiting to see how it turned out. Isn't it amazing that a man could even imagine such a thing? But that's what they're preaching. Yeah. Oh, my. That's the worst man. Can't save another man. That's the worst thing I know of. even though we've been a part of it. Preach the gospel. If there's any saving to be done, it'll do it. That's the only way it was established, it's about to happen. Take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there's no God else beside me. A just God. That's what we just got through reading a while ago. He teaches right things. That is his righteousness. There's none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. It's somewhat of an invitation here, isn't it? We have a little problem with invitation. Yep. What's the problem with that? They will not come. That's the only problem with that is... And be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. He's just going to repeat that over and over and over. And it really wasn't necessary. Once he applied the word to the conscience of man, he keeps trying these things over and over and over in himself. He definitely doesn't have any problem knowing there's a God. That's the reason he worked so hard to prove that there isn't. Why else would he bother with it? Say, I've sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. That unto me every knee should bow and every tongue should swear. Yeah. All these things gonna come to pass. That's what he said from the beginning. I've told you these things. I didn't speak in any hidden place, any dark place. It's all been open. I've been telling you from word go. All these things. He said, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness. Well, he's lost everything then. When he goes to that point that he says, surely in him we'll find it. And strength. Even to him shall men come. And all that are incensed against them shall be ashamed. Will you just go ahead and tear them down? The Lord's going to have them in derision. That's what he said. In a sense, not the way we think that, he's going to laugh at it. I told you something. In verse 25, it said, in the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. If you're part of Israel, that is your glory. What are we glory in? In those same things Israel glories in. The Israel of God. And we have such a problem with that today. It's everybody wants to go to the Holy Land. Yeah. Well, it'd be better to go to view of the land. But we know the hairdresser Betty goes to. They just got back from Israel a couple of weeks ago when it is so glorious. And they were afraid all the time they were there, and I didn't blame them for that. I'm scared of them myself. Nowadays we want to mix it together. the Christians and Judas isn't in such mixture. Best thing is get away from that. But what is all this prophecy about? It's the salvation of God's people. That's what's been prophesied from the very, very beginning. And the word of the Lord has progression. He told them so much in the first days, so much in the second days, if you would, so much in the third days, and the picture as it progressed. God, there's much grace in this. God progressed all the way through time to give man a little more vision all the time. And yet, his condemnation is that he doesn't like the light. He turns from all the light that God has given man all through the ages. He turns from it. Goes after his own righteousness, always trying to establish that he is right. Much argument over. More so in our day, I believe, than ever before, as I said before. They go to much length trying to prove that God is not who he says he is. And there's so much confusion about the prophecy. When 99% of it, I believe I've used that before, and I don't know exactly the percentage, but most of it's been fulfilled. Most of it has come to pass. Matter of fact, I believe that 99% of it, and when the coming of Jesus Christ was fulfilled. If it wasn't fulfilled, it was confirmed. Here's come the last word to you. This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I've made a covenant with him of grace. He's coming to save his people. So it's all about grace. How is man justified? By grace through faith. Well, go with me over the book of Galatians then. Third chapter. One of my favorite books. If there is a favorite, every week it may be another favorite. Yeah. And rightly, I don't know where to begin. Here we begin in verse 16. It said now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. What was the promise? I'm going to make you father of many nations. I'm out of you, I'm going to save a seed and the seed. That was the promise. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to the seed, their thy seed, which is Christ. There's the first fruit. I said his most fulfilled with his coming. So the first fruit has come. Now there's yet much to be done, we suppose, but we don't know how long this time will go. But whatever it is, it's just being fulfilled. God is saving him. Of people which are known as Israel. He said, in this I say that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, comma there, the law, which was 430 years after. After what? After the promise. that was made to Abraham. I said that this is a progressive thing. He told Noah one thing, and he kept on increasing that and increasing that until he gets to Abraham. And then 400 years later, he gives them a little more of the law, some ordinances to do, which were all a picture of the same thing that he had already told them of. But listen, after the promise, here came Lot, the one in which had ordinances to be fulfilled. And after this, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. It wasn't going to change a thing in the world from what God had already said. He said, for if the inheritance be of the law, oh, it come way after the promise. So the promise stood sure, and the law wasn't going to change. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise 400 years before this law come on the scene. Well, it's some more grace that come. He give them some more. Now, here's things that, you know, you could do that there you would see the Savior in them. It was given by promise. Wherefore, then serveth the law. Well, they still wanting to do something. That's what I was talking about earlier. God has done this much. And you need to do this. It's the same principle. It was added because of transgression. That was the reason the law was given, because they were getting more wicked every day. Do these things and live. Because of the transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. I said earlier that he made a covenant, God did, between him and the son. This is the only covenant that's important. The rest of them are null and void in him. We can take them and get them out of the way. Not that it done away with the law, but it done away with those ordinances in the law that was a picture of the end. Everything that God had prophesied was set forth. Whom the promise was made, it was ordained by the angels in the hand of the mediator. I get so mad every time I see them put the Pope up on the TV as being a mediator between God and man. But it isn't any different than all the Baptist folks and everybody else. They all got some mediator that they go to and they give them a little hope. They're all preaching hope, but not righteous hope. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? No, he made that promise before the law ever made. God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, barely righteousness should have come by the law. But it didn't. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin. I think it's all here too. It reminds me that the whole earth groaneth and travaileth together in pain waiting to be delivered. So the whole earth is cursed. The man and everything in it. Along come the thorns and the thistles and, it's ruined. And it has grown increasingly worse. They're blaming these more severe storms and all that stuff on global warming, but you know what it is? It's God Almighty at work. Do you understand that man cannot tear apart what God has put together? Let no man put it asunder. What God has put together is married. United, made one. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. What did they believe? Every word that proceeded from God. All the prophecy. In all the prophecy, I said, it's every bit wrapped up in one. In Him. All those things were, everything was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. But before faith came, I've been in prison, and we've been tutored. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Well, it was. But in that sense, the law is done away. The ordinance is, where is our faith? Not in the ordinance, but in Jesus Christ, who was representative of that ordinance. It is given that it might represent Him. Here's one coming that is righteous. He's going to keep that old law. We were shut up, though. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. If one be in Christ, though, he's no longer under the penalty of the law. He has liberty. What? That he might be justified by faith. And faith cometh by hearing. What do they hear? Every word that comes from God. But after that, faith is come. We're no longer under a schoolmaster. We're at liberty. We serve God by the grace of faith. Faith is pure grace. And it's of Him and not of us. But ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, made one, united. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Or we go back to that idea of marriage again. That's what we're waiting on, is the great marriage supper, right? But we already. God made a promise. He confirmed it in Jesus Christ when He comes. Not going to be one left out. You're all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed? Who was the promise made to? Abraham. What was all, where did all this prophecy that we're talking about really get started in Abraham. That was the promise. The law was given 400 years later, but it wasn't going to do anything to the promise. It couldn't annul it. God had already made a covenant with His Son. It stood sure. And everything that was happening was looking unto that day when He would come and secure salvation for Israel. You know, it's more than we can even imagine how that He carried out every, what did He say, jot and tittle, every little thing to the very end. Abraham's seed and heirs according to what He had promised Abraham. I'm going to give you this land. Not one here. Do you understand the Israelite people never did get the land? Why? Because that wasn't the land that God promised Abraham. He promised him a heavenly place. And His people today can sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This thing's not all that complicated. You know what makes it complicated? Man does not know how. He's going to put God down if he can, which he can't. And it's been confirmed by Jesus Christ coming. Oh, He gave it to us line upon line, precept upon precept. But to keep trying to turn it around and take the last line and put it in the head of the first line and all that sort of stuff, they go to great lengths to try to disprove who God is.
Yeah, it's the true holy land that I'm interested in going to. The same one that Abraham was interested in. It's amazing. Talking about Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob, he said these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity of return. But now, they desire a better country. That's the one that we all desire. That is, pardon? Right. That is. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. So that's the one that we're actually looking for. And is given to us by promise. How many of you are worthy? Again, the promise was made to Jesus. And the promise was that He would give, God the Father would give unto the Son a people through the praise of His name.